Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sinking in the Shadows by Alexandria Bishop, narrated by C.J. Bloom. 1. Her daddy? Marek? Is this little girl's father? He has a daughter and he never told me. And what did the little girl say about a mommy? Is Marek married? Divorced? What is going on here? All of these questions rapidly fire through Tinley's brain, and she has no idea how to process the information that was just thrown her way by this tiny little girl. All Tinley knows is this is the last place she wants to be, and she needs to get out of here quickly before Marek comes out from wherever he's currently hiding and finds her. At least she has to assume he's home right now, because where else would he be since he wasn't at work? She puts on a smile, albeit a forced one, and sinks down to the little girl's level. My name is Tinley, and I'm a friend of your dad's. I just wanted to drop this stuff by, since we haven't met yet, and I don't want you to get in trouble for answering the door and talking to a stranger. I'll just leave it here, okay?
Okay, Tinley.
She furiously nods her head up and down.
I like your name. It's very pretty. My daddy tells me all the time that my mommy named me Luna because of Harry Potter. He won't let me watch it, though he says I'm too little. But I'm a big kid. Did your mommy pick your name from one of her favorite movies?
This little girl is so incredibly sweet. And if the circumstances were different, she could see them getting along just fine. But Marek chose to keep them apart, and whatever his reasons are, Tinley doesn't plan on sticking around to find out. She takes a deep breath and slowly lets it out. She doesn't want to traumatize this little girl by breaking down in front of her. She doesn't know if it's hormones from the pregnancy or just shock in general, but it's taking everything within her to hold herself together. With another deep breath, she looks the little girl in the eyes and says, "Your name is pretty, too. I'll have to ask my mom where she came up with my name. I honestly don't know." She shrugs and rises from her position, offering a little wave. "I'll see you later, Luna." The last thing on her mind right now is where her mom came up with her name. Not that she can even remember if that conversation has ever come up. Not like that really matters right now anyway. Why is she even thinking about that?
Bye, Tinley. I'll see you soon,
Luna says with a small wave of her hand. Tinley's body goes into autopilot as she drops the basket of food on the floor inside the door, then turns around and walks back out of Marek's life, like he didn't crash into hers like a tornado, blowing in with so much emotion and passion, and leaving just as swiftly. She keeps her head held high as she goes around the front of her car and gets inside. To think she was so excited that the sun decided to grace them with its presence today. She shuts the door behind her, and a single tear falls down her cheek. The man she's in love with has a daughter and didn't tell her. How can this be? Her hand floats to her abdomen again, and the floodgates open up. She's been sitting with the news of her pregnancy for a week now, and was so excited to finally tell Marek. She's been so nervous about how he would react, but at this point, it's obvious she doesn't even know him after all. How did she end up in a situation like this? She glances back up toward his house and sees Luna still standing there with the door wide open. She's waving furiously at Tinley, who raises her arm to wave back. Part of her wants to go back and tell her to shut the front door. It's not safe for her to be standing there. Just as Tinley's hand goes to her door handle to get back out, Luna whips her head around and slams the front door. Marek, or whoever is watching her, must have found her. Without another thought, Tinley puts her car into drive and forces herself to leave. As she pulls to a stop at the corner, her phone starts ringing in her cup holder. Tinley doesn't even have to look to know who's calling her, but part of her has to see just to make sure. She quickly glances down to see Marek's name flashing across the screen. That's all it takes for the floodgates to open up all over again. He has a daughter? Is he secretly married too? How could he do this to us? To me? The thing is, she'd seen her. That woman she saw him with when she was shopping with Tara. Giselle. The gorgeous woman he was with at the coffee shop. She has to be Luna's mother. Their similarities are uncanny. They have the same long raven hair and striking blue eyes. Why didn't she ever question him after they first decided to do this? Oh, that's right. Because she's dumb and didn't want to believe something like this could happen. That had to be his wife. Bile builds up in Tinley's throat just thinking about it. She has become the other woman. And he did this to her. He can screw around on his wife if he wants to, but it won't be with Tinley. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever. They are through, and that's the end of it. Tara and Tinley's father made their mother the other woman, and she was never strong enough to leave him. Instead, he stayed with his real family and knocked up their mom twice. When she got too old for him, he dropped her like a used condom, which they probably should have used in the first place. Both her sister and she had never met their father, and based off the drunken stupor their mother spends her life in when she's not working herself to death, she probably would have been better off never meeting him either. She wipes away the tears that have fallen and vows to never shed a tear for Marek Outlaw ever again. Instead, she focuses on moving her car forward and forcing herself to leave him behind with each mile that separates them. It's almost comical how brightly the sun is shining today. They've had nothing but shitty overcast weather recently, but then the sun finally decided to come out, which Tinley took as a sign that it would be a great day, maybe even fantastic. Sure, she was terrified to tell Marek about the baby, but she knew it would all work out in the end. Now she can't help but laugh at how naive she was. He had her fooled real good, that's for sure. Tinley comes to a stop and parks in a local coffee shop parking lot. She's only a few miles away from Marek's house, but she's unsure of what she should be doing right now or where she should be going. Just thinking his name throws a whirlwind of emotions through her. It was a risk starting something with him in the first place. He's a supervisor at work, and both of them put their jobs at risk by starting up a relationship. She was willing to risk it because she loved him, but obviously Marek didn't feel the same way about her, or else he wouldn't have kept such a huge secret. The last place she wants to be right now is at home, especially since she still hasn't said anything to her roommate and best friend, Dakota, about Marek. Now that seems like a moot point, seeing as she can't even think about being with him when he's kept something so huge from her. Rather than risk falling apart and telling her roommate everything while her emotions are so haywire, she decides to go to the next best place. She hops onto the freeway and loses herself in the haze of the fast-moving traffic. It doesn't take her long to arrive at her new destination, and she parks her car, focusing on her breathing, attempting to pull herself together. The last thing she wants to do is have a breakdown. She takes one final soothing breath, then exits her vehicle. Her hands slide down the front of her sundress, smoothing out any potential wrinkles, and in her mind, the same mantra is on repeat. I will not break down. I will not break down. She hobbles up the walkway toward the house and feels like a complete idiot. How could I be so stupid? Reaching the front door, she knocks and waits for an answer. As soon as it opens, she knows she came to the right place, and a small bit of the weight on her shoulders falls free. She looks up with a small shrug, knowing her face probably looks a mess. She's never been a fan of waterproof mascara, and the fact that she cried in the car is probably evident all over her face. Hey, what's going on? Are you okay? 2. Her older sister looks back at her with nothing but concern written all over her face. As much as Tinley held it together on the drive over here, that's all it takes for her emotional dam to break again. The tears pour out of her, and sobs rack her body as she allows her feelings to take over. Tara envelops her in a giant hug, and Tinley holds on as tight as she can. Some people go to their mom when they need support or to vent, rant over life. But Tara has always been that person for Tinley. Their mom wouldn't even know how to be that kind of person for anyone, let alone her own children. After a few minutes, her sister releases her and, with nothing but sympathy in her eyes, says, "Come on. You can tell me all about it, starting with why you have that boot on your foot." It's been a while since the last time she saw her sister, at least a few weeks, and her focus has been so consumed she completely forgot she didn't tell her about breaking her foot, or really anything else that's been going on in her life, including her pregnancy. She's not really prepared to open up completely and tell her everything, but since she isn't exactly talking to Marek right now, she needs to talk to somebody. She follows her into the ridiculously clean living room, and the scent of lemons fills the air. Her sister uses a citrus cleaner on her hardwood floors, and her entire house always smells so fresh and clean because of it. She can't help but notice the slight waddle in her sister's gait, which does nothing but add guilt to her burdened heart. She's seriously impressed at how well she's able to keep her house clean, even though she's about ready to burst. Tara is now in her third trimester, getting closer to the end of her pregnancy, and Tinley has been so wrapped up in her own crap that she hasn't been there for her. Tara stacks up a bunch of throw pillows against the arm of the couch and slowly lowers herself down. Leaning against the stack, she reclines back and releases a heavy groan as she lifts her legs up and relaxes, giving her the space to really stretch out. Tinley chooses the recliner next to her and pushes her emotions down. Seeing her sister so incredibly pregnant and living such an adult life causes her to break out laughing. She should be much more settled than she is, and instead, her life is falling apart even more so than it was a few months ago. Of course, she only has herself to blame. She became complacent in her life and never did anything about it. With one little push from Tara and Dakota, and she jumped full force into a relationship with Marek. What did she expect when she went from 0 to 60 with no concern for the consequences? She finally stops laughing long enough to ask, "So, where should I start?" Her sister reaches for the remote sitting on the coffee table and turns off the TV. Tinley hadn't even realized it was on until Tara turned it off. She grimaces and turns her full attention to Tinley. "I'm going to pretend like you didn't just have a complete meltdown and go from bawling your eyes out to laughing hysterically. I'd rather not have to think about whether or not I need to commit my little sister. So, let's start with your foot. What's with the boot?" Tinley cringes and glances down at the hideous thing. If there's one piece of evidence that she hasn't quite grown up yet, it's that right there. Tinley and Dakota like to joke a lot that adulting is hard, but they both tend to be at least reasonably responsible. "Before I tell you what happened, do you promise not to turn all mommy judgmental on me?" Tara sighs and rolls her eyes before replying. "I take serious offense at that dig. Mommy judgmental? What does that even mean? It's your thing. Now stop arguing. Just promise me you won't get all high and mighty and tell me to grow up." "Well, you do." Shaking her head, Tinley says, "Nope. If you're choosing to judge me or tell me how I don't act my age, then forget it. I don't need to tell you what happened." Not that she really remembers much from that night anyway. "Fine," Tara says with a heavy sigh as she rolls her eyes. "No judgments. Just tell me what's going on with you." Dakota came home from work in a really bad mood. She refused to tell me what was going on, and honestly, I just wanted to get out of there. You know how cranky and bitchy she can get when she's in one of those funks. Tara nods and Tinley continues. "I sent a text to Marek, hoping to finally see his house for a change, but he gave me the brush off, which did nothing but irk me. Why wouldn't he want me to see his house, you know? Anyway, my lovely roommate decided heavy drinking was in order for whatever she had going on, and I didn't have a reason to disagree with her at that point. So, we went out and... well, I woke up the next morning with a broken ankle." "Basically, what you're telling me is you went binge drinking and can't remember what happened except you mysteriously made it home, though I wouldn't say 100% safely. Is that the gist of it?" "Remember, you said no judgment." Her sister puts her hand in the air and replies, "Did I say anything judgy?" When it comes to Tara, She's always had a mom voice, even before she became a mom herself. It's like she can talk to you in a way that makes you feel guilty and stupid, or heck, even make you spill your guts if you're lying. It's how Tinley always knew she would be a great mom because she had the personality down pat. That particular skill lets Tinley know exactly what her sister is thinking right now, and although Tara didn't say anything to judge the situation, Tinley's well aware that is exactly what is going on. It wasn't about what you said, it was your tone. We could sit here all day arguing about my voice, saying something my words aren't, but that would be stupid and pointless. I really don't think the reason you look like you've been crying and came over here has anything to do with a broken ankle. So, what's really going on? That's where things get hard. Once she tells her sister everything and puts those words out there, it makes it all real. She's not really sure if she's ready for all of that, but she did come over here for a reason. Tinley can't decide if it was just to vent or to find a voice of reason amidst all the shit going on. She's really hoping there's a silver lining somewhere, and she just can't see it yet. Tinley pauses before taking a slow, even breath, then jumping right in. When I was at the hospital, they had me take a pregnancy test before giving me an X-ray or prescribing any pain medication for my foot. I laughed them off because although my sex life has gone from non-existent to pretty regular as of late, I knew there was no way I was pregnant. Until the nurse came back with the results, which told me how wrong I really was. Tara instantly sits up on the couch and her mouth drops open. What did Marek do? Did he turn you away and say he didn't want a child? That bastard. I'm going to beat his ass, the little shit. As much as the situation sucks right now, her sister's anger is rather comical. Tinley starts crying again, only this time it's because she's laughing so hard. Calm down, Mama Bear. There's more to my story. I would really like to see you try to beat Marek up. Though there's no way Clark would ever let you attempt something like that while you're pregnant. And no offense, but he's not exactly the fittest guy around. Do you not remember what Marek's arms look like? Not somebody your husband should try to go up against. You don't know what you're talking about. I've made grown men cry before, and I'm not against doing it again. Let's hold off on beating anyone up for now, at least until I finish telling you everything that's going on. She relaxes back against the pillows on the couch and motions with her hand for Tinley to continue talking. When I went into work today, I found out that Marek had called in sick, so I decided to take him some soup and cupcakes to make him feel better. Like I said earlier, I've never been to his house, but I found out where he lives with a quick Google search. Jeez! Such a stalker. If only that was Tinley's only problem right now. Rolling her eyes, she smiles at her sister and continues. Anyway, I got to Marek's house, which is adorable, by the way, rang the doorbell, and you'll never guess who answered the door. Her sister gasps and says, Was it that snarky bitch, Giselle? Was she trying to stake her claim again? Not like she would need to with how gorgeous she is. Tinley laughs while shaking her head. No, it was a little girl about 4 or 5 years old. Her name is Luna, and she's Marek's daughter. This time, Tara flies up completely and almost falls off the couch. What do you mean, his daughter? Who is her mother? Is it Giselle? That bitch. I bet it is. I don't know. I didn't stay long enough to talk to him. Tinley replies with a small shrug. She doesn't add the fact that she had the same thought about Luna being Marek and Giselle's daughter. There's no denying how much of a resemblance the woman shares with the little girl. Before Tara can say anything else, Tinley's phone rings for the 10th time since she left Marek's house, and she sends this call to voicemail like she has with each one prior. At some point, he has to just give up, and until that happens, she's more than happy to wait him out. Or she'll get lucky and he'll just fill up her inbox, then won't be able to leave any more messages. It's not like she ever gets phone calls anyway. Everyone she knows sends her texts these days. Tara glances down at the phone in Tinley's lap before returning her focus to her face. Is that him? She doesn't even have the energy to open her mouth for a response, so she offers her sister a small nod instead. She feels so completely lost and confused. How did things get to be so bad so quickly? Marek, Tinley, I know you are here. Marek, you can't avoid me forever. We need to talk. The text comes across her phone screen, and Tinley can't decide whether she wants to scream, cry, or shatter the damn thing against the wall. The defeat overwhelms her, and she does the only thing she can think of. Me. Leave me alone. I need time. Although she doesn't really see how time can help the situation at all, how can her sitting on this information make things better? Marek lied to her. But maybe he'll stop trying to reach out to her if he thinks there is still a chance? Just in case, she decides to send him a second text. Me. Don't try getting a hold of me again. I'm shutting my phone off. She doesn't wait to see if he decides to respond or not. Instead, she presses the off button and watches as her screen slowly fades to black as it powers down. The whole day has been a giant disaster, and she doesn't even know what she should be feeling right now. She's angry at Marek for keeping such a huge secret from her, and the potential other lies he could be telling her as well. She's mad at herself for putting so much blind faith into another person and trusting with her entire heart. And she's confused about the fact that she's both terrified and excited about her unknown future. Never in her life has she had plans to be a mom. But now that there's a tiny human growing inside of her, she wants to live that life more than anything. She had hoped it would include Marek. But now she has to prepare herself for doing it all on her own. She has no idea how that's going to work out or happen. But she's almost 30. And it's about time she finally grew up anyway. Her sister releases a small sigh and places her hand on Tinley's. I love you. You know that. And I know you're upset right now, but you can't avoid him forever. There's obviously a lot you both need to talk to each other about. I know. But I need time. And that's fine. I'm your big sister, and I will always support you. But this isn't just about you anymore. While you're taking your time, I want you to think about what you want. What's best for not only you, but for your baby as well. As if on instinct, Tinley's hand gravitates toward her belly. She's barely had enough time to get used to the idea of being pregnant, and yet she has major decisions to make that affect not only her life, but her unborn child's as well. It all seems so intimidating, and she's terrified that she won't make the right choices when the time comes. But she's a mom now, even if her baby isn't born yet, and she needs to embrace that role to its fullest. Why don't you go lie down for a bit? You look more exhausted than I feel, and I think a nap will help you calm down and maybe get a little more clarity on the situation. Now that her sister mentions it, she feels completely beaten down and tired. She nods her head and gets up from the recliner she's sitting on. Her entire body sags and her eyes start to droop now that some of the adrenaline pumping through her body is left. This day has been very exhausting, and being pregnant probably doesn't help at all. She offers her sister a sad smile and drags herself upstairs to the guest bedroom. Within minutes of her head hitting the pillow, she's overwhelmed by sleep, and it quickly takes over. For once, she hopes for a dreamless sleep as she can't imagine her dreams being anything positive. 3. Laughter from downstairs carries up to Tinley as she slowly peels her eyes open. She's disoriented for a few minutes before the events of the day come slamming back to her, and she remembers coming to her sister's house, which is why she's currently curled up in a ball in the spare bedroom. She pushes herself up in bed, and the motion from moving too quickly flips her stomach. Tinley's mouth fills with putrid saliva, and her hand flies to her mouth. She instantly drops down to the floor, grabs for the small wastebasket beside her, and empties what little is sitting in her stomach. The burn from the bile coats her throat in the worst way possible. Sweat drenches her face, and her stomach tosses and turns with uneasiness, which does nothing in helping her feel better. After retching up just about everything but her organs, she falls back and relaxes her body against the side of the bed. The familiarity of a cold sweat sets in, and a chill travels down her spine. Even though she knows it's not open, her gaze travels toward the window to double-check. A small throw hangs over the edge of the bed, and she pulls it down, wrapping it around her shoulders like a lifeline. No matter how tightly she tugs it closed, it isn't enough to bring in warmth. A cynical laugh falls from her lips as she continues looking outside and sees the semi-darkness flowing in through the window. They call it morning sickness, but that's just about the only time Tinley doesn't get sick. At least so far. More often than not, she's blowing chunks at dinner time than enjoying a nice meal of saltines and ginger ale. She quickly pulls herself together, brushing her teeth and washing her face in the ensuite bathroom before heading downstairs to investigate. As she steps off the last stair and walks into the living room, she's shocked to find Dakota sitting with her sister. Neither one of them seems to notice she's walked into the room as they continue on with their conversation, but both of their heads turn her way when she asks, "What are you doing here?" Tara instantly stands up from her spot on the couch and says, "I called her. I'm fine with you staying here with me if that's what you need to do, but you can't continue keeping secrets from Dakota. She's your best friend, Tinley, and you need her by your side right now, too." As Tinley takes a seat in the recliner next to the couch, Tara leaves the room so it's just Tinley alone with her roommate. The air becomes thick with awkward silence. She tries to avoid eye contact with Dakota, which makes everything worse instead of better. "Tinley, what's going on? What is Tara talking about?" Tinley glares at the wall to the next room where her sister is currently at and contemplates how much she wants to tell Dakota. They've always told each other everything in the past, but she doesn't feel comfortable telling anyone else about the pregnancy before she talks to Marek first. She feels bad enough about telling Tara, but she had to talk to someone before she ended up going crazy. "I wasn't 100% truthful with you when I told you about my speed dating dates." "Okay." Dakota polishes off her glass of wine and sets it on the coffee table. "What's that supposed to mean?" "Well, I may have mentioned all of the dates I went on, except one." "No big deal. You didn't have to give me a play-by-play of your entire evening. I assumed you just gave me the most exciting highlights." She almost starts laughing, but knows that's probably the last thing she should be doing right now. Besides, if she did start laughing, it wouldn't make any sense to Dakota. She takes a slow breath and swallows down the laugh. "You don't get it. I've been seeing someone, or at least, I was. I'm not really sure what the status of our relationship will be now." "I'm a little confused now, but I'm sure you had your reasons for keeping the relationship a secret. So why are you telling me this now?" If her sister were in the room, she would totally give her the stink eye. The only reason she's saying anything to Dakota is because Tara called her. She would much rather continue wallowing and try to figure everything out with Marek on her own. The last thing she wants to do is involve her best friend in this, especially with how much Dakota despises Marek. "Dakota, it was Marek."
"What was Marek? Now you've completely lost me."
She sighs heavily and says, "The date I purposely didn't tell you about. It's because it was with Marek. I've been seeing him."
"As in Marek Outlaw? Super douche? King of the frat dicks at work? That Marek?"
"And you've just proven my point about why I decided not to tell you about it. I know how you feel about him and didn't want your judgment tainting my potential relationship. I don't need that kind of drama in my life."
"You're kidding me right now, right? This is just some elaborate joke you've got going on?"
She gets up from the couch and starts circling the room, looking behind curtains and furniture before turning back to Tinley.
"Is Ashton Kutcher going to jump out of a closet and tell me I'm being punked or something?"
The ridiculousness of that question almost has Tinley laughing. Is Dakota being for real right now? Punked? Sometimes she can't even deal with the shit that comes out of her best friend's mouth. "Seriously, Dakota? Do you think if Ashton Kutcher were here right now, I would be sitting in my sister's living room telling you I'm dating Marek? Don't you think I would have come up with something a little more interesting than that?" Then Dakota starts laughing. She walks back to the couch and picks up her wine glass. She sniffs the empty contents, then places it back on the coffee table again. Her laughs get louder and louder, causing Tara to come walking back into the room. Tinley shrugs when she sees her sister's alarmed expression, and eventually, her best friend stops laughing. I'm sorry, but either I was just drugged or you're even stupider than I thought you were. Really, Tinley? No wonder you're all wallowing and upset. What did the dick...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?